In the midst of a nationwide push for racial justice in all aspects of American life, you may have heard that public media is having a reckoning of its own. Journalists and staff are speaking out at public media stations across the country about failed promises to create diverse newsrooms and sharing stories of racism they've experienced in the workplace that goes back decades and stretches into the present day. We're seeing this at stations including KPCC in California, WAMU in Washington, D.C., and even here at WNYC, the Takeaway's home station. Public media has historically been a very white medium, serving largely white audiences, even though it prides itself on being independent, representative, and dramatically different from traditional for-profit media. I'm Tanzina Vega, and whether public media can truly live up to that mission is where we start today on The Takeaway. Joining us to talk about the challenges in public media and his own experience in the industry is Lee Hill, a Black journalist who's been working in public media for nearly 20 years. Lee was the first Black man in the newsroom at Colorado Public Radio in 2011, and today he's the executive producer of The Takeaway and the only Black executive producer at WNYC. Lee, thanks so much for being here.
Hey, good to be here, Tanzina.
I think for a lot of journalists of color, public media isn't the initial place we end up. So how did you end up coming into this space?
So I actually started in journalism when I was 15 years old, working at a local Black newspaper in Milwaukee, my hometown. And of course, that was in public media. But then when I went to college at Howard University in Washington, D.C., I met Doug Mitchell, who is a mentor to many people through a program called the Next Generation Radio Project. You know, participating in that program, which has always been an extension of NPR, that was my baptism into public media. So I started as an intern in 2003 and eventually got my foot in the door and worked my way up through a series of temp jobs until I became full-time and permanent.
Lee, you were the only and the first Black man in an all-white newsroom at Colorado Public Radio. What was that experience like for you?
That experience was really interesting and also very hard. I left NPR to go to Colorado Public Radio because I wanted more experience covering local news. And I knew that, from looking at the website, I knew that I would be the only person of color there. I did not know that I would be the first Black person, and I think person of any color, working in that newsroom. And so that was hard because, you know, while I'm proud of the work that I did and, you know, made a lot of inroads with, you know, engaging the community and bringing new voices into the reporting there, but I carried the burden of being the first. And the burden is a blessing, but it's also a burden because there's no precedent. You know, I remember a colleague telling me they wanted to, you know, take me out for a beer to try and understand what it's like to be Black in America, as if that conversation could be summed up, you know, by having a beer.
It could be handled over a beer, of course.
Right. And so I going into Black and brown communities while at Colorado Public Radio, you know, no one else sort of had that assignment. You know, I remember going to a Juneteenth celebration in the city of Denver to try and sort of get new sources. And I invited everyone from the newsroom at the time to come and you know, sort of join me at this event and just so that the station could have a presence. And no one wanted to come. Our news director came at the time for a little bit, but after a while, she left. And so it was just me. And so I think that people relegated, you know, any sort of diversity work to the only Black guy.
Journalists of color, Black journalists, Latino journalists, and others are often expected to cover people of color, right? Communities of color, Black and brown people. But I think the experience of being the one, the only, or even if you're a handful of, you know, onlys, if you will, it can be distracting in some ways because you're constantly, you know, in this state of understanding your otherness or feeling othered. Did you find that it was distracting to have to constantly deal with that, as you described it, that burden as you were trying to just do your journalism?
Yeah, I mean, it was. I mean, I actually fell into a deep depression during my time there. I mean, because I felt incredibly lonely. I felt like I had the support of the audience and journalists at other institutions, but I felt like me being sort of the only Black person, just I didn't really have support. That was really lonely and that was really hard. I would call people back in D.C. at NPR, actually. Michelle Martin was always a great ear, and kind of vent to her about how lonely it was. And she would just tell me, you know, just keep going. But yeah, it was hard. And I did feel otherwise.
One of the things that public radio in particular is criticized for is its history of discriminating against certain kinds of on-air voices. And I think this sort of gets into who sounds quote unquote white and who doesn't. And if you don't sound the way that public radio hosts have traditionally sounded or public radio reporters have traditionally sounded, you can have a face a tough time. I mean, was that something that you experienced, Lee?
It was not at NPR. So I was on the air every week at NPR for about 3 years, doing a weekly segment on the show Tell Me More. And that was fine. I got a lot of support internally and you know, it was a popular segment with the audience called Back Talk. But when I went to Colorado, it was interesting because I felt scrutinized like I had never been on the air before. The amount of scrutiny of being told that I sounded weird. I remember one host there, when I would track with this person, they would say, take that again, you sound weird there. Or, you know, and I've never felt so torn apart, really, in my delivery and in my performance. I did experience that. And, you know, I mean, eventually, I mean, I'm in an executive role now, and I love this job, and, you know, leading you all and leading this team. But I have to say that it was one of my motivations for getting off the air. I felt really damaged by that experience.
Wow. Stories like what you're describing are really becoming, I mean, journalists are usually not the story, right? We are not supposed to be the story. And yet, the past couple of weeks have been really intense for so many Black journalists and journalists of color who are sharing their stories, both in public radio, in public media, but even beyond. We're hearing stories about what it's like to work at the New York Times. I have my own experiences there as, you know, as a Latina, as the one of the few people who was a business reporter of color, right? And we're starting to hear more and more about just how difficult this is. Are we risking a lot, Lee, by telling our stories? Are we risking too much?
I think that the arc is finally bending toward justice, right? I think that what we're seeing in the world with, you know, the protests around the killing of George Floyd and demands actually for racial equity and racial justice and to be treated fairly are making their way into the workplace, and now making their way into newsrooms, and now making their way into public media newsrooms. And so I think that there is a risk. You know, listen, there are fine people at Colorado Public Radio who are, many of them are lovely. There are wonderful people at New York Public Radio and at WNYC. And I think that, you know, in this moment, we are having to say to many of those wonderful people, hey, this actually needs to be better and we can do better. And listen, the reason why I've been in public media for almost 20 years because I love it. When you love something, you love it enough to sort of hold it accountable. And I love what I do. I love being in an industry that is sort of supposed to be rooted in higher ideals and welcoming the voices of all people into our editorial processes and sort of going beneath the headlines and not telling people what to think, but telling people what to think about. I love that. And so because I love that, you can always count on me to push us toward our potential. That is why I'm here. And, you know, this is a conversation I have with my bosses who I really believe mean well. And, you know, this is the conversation that we'll continue to have as people of color. And I think The good news is, I think that because of some of these headlines, I think that people are starting to get it. I'm excited about what getting it looks like. I hope that it gets better.
At WNYC, you are the one Black executive producer we have. And there is, in our own home, there is a reckoning happening at WNYC and at New York Public Radio, where more than 150 employees signed a letter asking for management to be accountable to the vision that it has stated of diversity and of diverse leadership. You're sort of at the crossroads there because you're both the highest ranking or one of the highest ranking Black editors at the company. And yet, you know, how do you navigate that space of leadership in a time when there are so even fewer people up there and there's this reckoning happening behind you?
It's very hard, Tenzina. It's very hard. Actually, last night I had a moment where I just sat and, you know, it's really hard. I'm glad to have a seat at the table, and I'm glad that I have access to our CEO, and I'm glad that I have access to our chief content officer, and I have their ear, and I have no issue registering with them. And they're kind to always listen. You're right. I'm the only Black executive producer here. So one of the things that I've had to do recently is, you know, sort of lean into building a network. You know, I'm very good friends with Kenya Johnson Young, who's the first ever Black woman to be the executive producer of Morning Edition at NPR. And I'm actually working to build a network of other Black executive producers in the business, Black executive producers and Black editors in chief. So, you know, I'm very close with Matt Thompson, who's editor in chief at Reveal. You know, there are a couple other people like Kiana Burns, who's executive broadcast producer of Good Morning America. And so there's some of us who were starting to come together and sharing stories and laughter and, you know, just getting out of our own heads, because it is lonely. It is lonely. And I mean, and also just, you know, self-care and making sure that, you know, I keep a therapist employed.
And I think many of us do these days.
That's really important. So, yeah, it is hard. You know, we also have at WNYC, we have a great head of diversity, Brenda Williams, who's, you know, really working hard with me and with others to move the needle and push us to the best version of ourselves as an organization.
We are often expected to sort of represent and speak for entire communities, whether it's explicit or not. Expanding that diversity would almost take that burden off of us, I think, and allow more of a representative representation, if you will, of who people of color really are. The more people you have, the more diverse views you have. Lee, do you have a message for the largely still white leadership in public media today, given your 20 years of experience, given the different roles that you've had, and given the mission of public media, which is meant to, at least in theory, hold itself to a higher standard for fairness, for inclusion, than for for-profit media?
This world is a beautiful sort of mosaic of different experiences and ethnicities and cultures and struggles and pain. We do better to our audience by making sure that the people who we employ to tell those stories reflect the country that we report on and the world that we report on. Michelle Norris, the former host of All Things Considered at NPR, another friend of mine, used to put it this way. She used to always emphasize the public in public radio, like this is national public radio. And I think that, you know, we need to emphasize the public, you know, in our name and in our mission. It's not just a word that's there as a formality or for show. We really do feel like we have a mission to serve all people. And I think in order to do that well, we need to reflect that. And we need to reflect the country in the people we hire and the people who are making decisions. It's just good business. It's just good business. And it's also, I think that we're made better when we're working alongside people who don't always look like us or who have different life experiences. I know that I've been better, for that in many situations. And I think that, I think that we just got to do better. Now's the time. We got to do better.
Well, I can tell you that I am deeply grateful for your leadership, Lee. And you've been a wonderful light for us here at The Takeaway. Lee Hill is the executive producer of The Takeaway. Lee, thanks so much.
Good to be here with you, Jenzina.
And we should note that in an email to staff, New York Public Radio CEO Goli Shekoslami said, quote, "Put bluntly, New York Public Radio in its entire history has yet to meet its aspiration and obligation to reflect the full diversity of our city and listeners we serve. We have failed to recruit, mentor, promote, and retain diverse talent, especially our Black reporters and editors." Goli goes on to announce several steps the organization is taking, including plans to swiftly hire two Black editors and create an internal council on racial equity. Public radio has a history of being predominantly white, making it difficult for people of color to have any significant representation. And that's both in newsrooms and in the actual storytelling. But for the past 20 years, one behind-the-scenes program has been working to change the public radio landscape. Doug Mitchell is the founder and director of NPR's Next Generation Radio and has been mentoring journalists for years. And we just heard from our executive producer, Lee Hill, talk about Doug's influence on his career, and countless others in public radio have gone through the program as well. Doug, hey, how are you?
I'm doing fine, thanks.
Briefly, can you tell us how you got into public radio, and when did you realize there was a problem with representation? Was it early on?
Well, I'm originally from Oklahoma, graduate of Oklahoma State University, and I started out at station KOSU. And I probably noticed before that, because I was the editor of my high school newspaper, and I was the only one. And growing up there, I was often the only one in a lot of places. And, you know, you get a little used to it. I had aspirations. During my time at KOSU, I would listen to Morning Edition, and I'd hear Bob Edwards, and I'd say, I want to do that. Didn't want to be necessarily Bob Edwards, but I wanted to work for NPR. So I ended up leaving Oklahoma, coming to D.C., sort of a grapes of wrath, becoming East. Worked at a record store, nagged NPR, and finally got hired. And my aspiration was to sit at the table where they made decisions. And then after I got to the table, I was kind of like, wow, this isn't really what I thought it was. I'm shortening a lot of it, but it's like, there's something I should do, and I probably should just go ahead. So I joined the National Association of Black Journalists in the early 90s. Noticed they had print, noticed they had TV, but there was no radio. And so I went a couple of times to a couple of conferences, and then went to the Unity Journalist 94 Project conference, and then did a radio project there. And I got so inspired by it, I started up the NABJ Radio Project in 1995 and just sort of went from there.
So, Doug, we're talking a lot about racial diversity in public radio, but there are other types of diversity that public radio also struggles with, and that's class and also geographic diversity. Can you tell us a little bit about why that's so important?
Well, as I mentioned, I'm originally from Oklahoma, and, you know, we started out doing our projects on the coasts, which enabled us to kind of get a runway. But being from the middle part of America, it's we've started making inroads there. So, for example, we go to University of Nevada, Reno. We're going to go to Colorado. Let me try that again.
Sure.
It's pandemic time, so I have to, to remember.
Okay.
So being from middle America, it's important for us to be there as well. I have goals of doing a project with tribes in Indian country. We're going to do a project with Colorado this year. And there are other places I would like to go over in parts of the country which are fairly untapped, because I think there's talent everywhere. There is. And it's important for us to, in the day that we can show up physically and be there, we should do that.
Doug, you've been organizing this NPR Next Generation Radio program for so long. Lee and other staff members on The Takeaway have been a part of it. You've been a mentor to me, but you've also been a mentor to so many journalists of color in this industry. Without revealing individual stories, I'm wondering, what are the big themes that you hear from the journalists of color that you mentor as far as some of the struggles that they face in the industry?
Yeah, so when I started up these projects, the idea was to provide a runway. How do we get people in? I mean, I just showed up. And that was pre-9/11. So I was able to just kind of walk in the building, pretend I knew what I was doing, and I could get in. It's not like that anymore. There are literal walls preventing people from getting in. So there needed to be a way. So I decided, let's focus on younger people, younger than me anyway, and provide some sort of way in which they get in. So let's have them audition in front of us. So let me create a training project. They'll do some traditional reporting. They'll do some writing. I'll find people in our system who are interested in also mentoring. And we'll just be relentless. We'll just do it time after time after time. And so after NABJ, I joined AAJA. I joined NAJA, Native American Journalists Association. I joined the National Association of Hispanic Journalists and then Lesbian and Gay Journalists Association because, as Lee said and Michelle Martin says, public is public. Public means everybody. So I joined all those organizations, started up radio training, and then in 2000, that's when I decided to name it Next Generation Radio. Because we were doing so many, the journalism conferences, in addition to three NPR stations where we would travel to do projects. So the themes that I'm actually hearing now after doing all this work, once you get in, it becomes harder. And I think that is probably the biggest roadblock to diversifying our industry is that it's the retention issue. It's like once you get in, you sit at that table, like myself back when I was when I got started, you got to the table and you realized you may have been one of a few, but you sit at that table where you realize you're either going to be microaggressively reduced or you're going to be waved off. And if you, like, I'm very stubborn and I refuse to accept that, and which is why I'm still here. But if you're not like that, you're going to leave. And so my role, when you talk about mentorship, is my role is to make sure that those who come through our program don't leave, don't. And so that's why I do all the mentoring. That's why I do all the conversations. I do all the coaching.
And you do more than mentoring, Doug. I mean, you do a lot of, you know, as one of the few Black journalists in public radio who's been doing this work for as long as you have, you're really creating a support network for people and connecting exactly. other journalists of color. How do we, Doug, get, not just in terms of retention, because I know that's a big problem, but how do we even get people to the levels that Lee, for example, is at, that I'm at? Like, how do we diversify all the way up the yeah. spectrum and not just in the internships or the low-level right. producer roles, which are critical, but really we want to have conversations. I think this reckoning is really about power.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And so one of the things we've done, thankful to technology, is that with Next Gen Radio, we have now 430-plus people in our Slack community. And this, my being at home the last 3.5 months has really given me an opportunity to really think about our work going forward. And so now we have a little bit of a small town. And so it's not just about the project and the auditioning anymore. It is, we are a community that does projects. We're not projects that result in community. And so as the founder, director, I call myself the work dad, it is my responsibility, I think, and our responsibility as those who are mentors with our program to ensure that those we're bringing into our community have someone to talk to. If they have a question, even the smallest question, that they feel comfortable asking it. If they're sitting in that meeting and somebody says something and they think it's a little weird, you can send me a private Slack message or an email and ask me about that.
You all heard that, everybody. You're going to get a lot of slacks, Doug. Doug Mitchell is the founder and director of NPR's Next Generation Radio, whose Slack channel will probably explode. Doug, great to talk to you.
Okay, thank you very much.
And we know public media fans may have thoughts on this, so call us, 877-8-MY-TAKE.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.